Let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians here this morning for our scripture reading. 1 Corinthians is in the New Testament, and I am going to go to chapter 13, and I am going to read verses 4 through 8a. Today I'm reading out of my good old reliable NIV translation Bible, and if you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Very, very familiar text. And God's word says this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. We'll end right there. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, as we go through this fourth Sunday in Advent, our word here today is going to be love. So, Lord, put a little more love in our hearts here today, Lord, and we can learn a lot more about it. Not so much what the world teaches us about love, but what you teach us about love. We know that we will be transformed little by little and become more Christ-like because of what you are doing. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. This will be our final week in this series that I have titled Advent and the Heart. Yes, we eagerly anticipate celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this Friday, December 25th. And this Savior promises that he will make changes in the heart of every believer. What changes have we learned about? Well, so far we have learned this. In the first week of Advent, we learned that hope will mature the heart of a believer. Week number two, we learned that peace will guard the heart of the believer. Last week, the third Sunday in Advent, we learned that joy excites the heart of a believer. And today we're going to move on to our fourth and final week in the season of Advent for 2020. And I have titled today's message, A Flowing Heart. We'll get into that here in a second. So what is our theme word for today? Well, I think it's pretty obvious from 1 Corinthians 13 what our theme word is for today. Our theme word is love. And today we're going to see how love will flow from the heart of every believer. Love. Well, let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, where Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is, there it is, the very first word, love. And we've seen the other ones, joy and peace. We've covered those. But love is a fruit of the Spirit. That means that every true believer will exhibit love and this fruit in their life. Love. Love is something that can be given, and it can be something that can be received. But for this morning, I want to talk about love as something that we give, something that needs to flow from the heart of every believer. Usually I look up the definition of words in Webster's dictionary and put them up there, but this time I did not do that because today I want to allow the Word of God to define what love is and what love is not. We probably all know that, really, if you think about it, love really goes against the grain of our human nature, and it is certainly foreign to the human condition. Well, why is that? And I believe the reason is because love, or at least biblical love, as Jesus outlines it here, is going to be unconditional. And sometimes that is very difficult for us human beings to have unconditional type of love. Because sometimes, as human beings, we are very good at placing conditions on what we believe our concept of love is. It's not unusual to hear somebody say, well, if you love me, then you will do such and such, whatever such and such is. If you love me, then you'll do this. More than likely, whatever that such and such might be, has something to do with satisfying their wants and their needs and not the other way around. It's a receiving type of love. But even as Christians, it is often difficult to leave self out of the love equation. But let's do a review of our 3 weeks of Advent, and I believe this is why love has been saved till last. Here's our 3 weeks again. I'm sorry. Don't have those up there. Number one, we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that gives us hope. That is good news. We're saved by the blood of Jesus. Number two, our hearts are guarded from our anxieties and worries in this world, and that gives us peace. And the third week, our eternity is secure, and that gives us joy. Jesus is our Savior. Our hearts are guarded. Our eternity is secure. We have hope. We have peace. We have joy. And I believe once we understand these three things from the three previous weeks, what should be our response to those things that we have been freely given? Answer. Should be love. Love should flow freely from our hearts. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus was asked by the Pharisees what the greatest commandment was. They were trying to trap Jesus, is what they were trying to do, but little did they know you cannot trap Jesus. Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And he answers by saying this in verses 37 through 40. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. So there you have it, in bold and underlined, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. So let me ask all of us, let's do a little self-examination here this morning. How good of a job are we doing at loving God? Or do we just love God when we need him for something? And then the second one, how good of a job are we doing at loving our neighbor? I don't know about your neighbor, but I have a tough time loving my neighbor, specifically the person who lives next door to me. But that's another sermon for another time. That's why this sermon is for me this morning. I need to learn this. We need to love God. We need to love our neighbor as ourselves. So let's get back to our scripture reading for today, for 1 Corinthians, and see what the Word of God teaches us about love. Well, we know that the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us what love is and what love is not. So let's look at the positives. I'm going to put the positives up here first. Love, and we're going to go through these. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love rejoices with the truth. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. And love always perseveres. Those are the positive things. Those are the things that love should be doing in our lives. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians 13 and look at the negative side. the things that love is not. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. Love is not rude. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. And love does not delight in evil. What would happen if we took those two lists, the positives and the negatives, and we did a self-examination of how we personally do with the good things? Those are the things I should be doing, or these things, these are the things that I should not be doing. How good are we at allowing love to flow from our hearts? The journey of a Christian, we know this, has a goal, and that goal is this: to become more Christ-like on a daily basis. So for the remainder of our time here this morning, what I want to do is look at all 15 of these attributes. We're going to look at the 7 positives. We will look at the 8 negatives. And we're going to see, briefly see, how did Jesus do with these? We know how we do with them. We can all look inward to ourselves and say, you know, I'm pretty good at this, but I need a little help here. And we could do that. But Jesus is our role model. He is our goal. We are becoming more Christ-like. So how did Jesus do with these attributes here in 1 Corinthians? So we'll put them back up here again. And let's see. First one, love is patient. How many times did Jesus have to tell his disciples? Can't you just picture it? Oh, ye of little faith. How many times did Jesus have to say, don't you guys get it? Jesus had to have had patience with these disciples, these men and women who were following him, who so often we read, it's like, didn't they get it? But he was patient with them. Love is kind. Jesus had no problem eating with sinners and eating with prostitutes and even talking with, in John chapter 4, a Samaritan woman. Jesus never played favorites. Jesus was always kind with everyone. Love rejoices with the truth. This one's pretty straightforward. Jesus was all about truth. He says in John 14, 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one gets to the Father except by me. And Jesus also said this in John 8, 32, that the truth will set you free. It will set you free. Jesus was all about truth. He is walking truth. Even when he was before Pilate in John 18, 38, Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? And little did Pilate know, he was looking at truth. The next one, it always protects. In John chapter 17, verse 12, Jesus tells us that he protects those whom the Father has given him. It says this in John chapter 10, that our eternity is secure. And Jesus says, no one can snatch my sheep out of my hand. No one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. Jesus was always protective of his own. And it's good to know that we are protected in the hands of Jesus. Love always trusts. Jesus never trusted in man. He never trusted in man, but he always trusted in the perfect will of his Father. And that is something maybe we can strive for. Do we trust in the perfect will of the Father? Do we seek the perfect will of the Father and then trust in the direction that he's taken us? Love always hopes. Jesus knew this, that his sacrifice on the cross would bring redemption to all who would believe and trust in him. He is our hope, and he knew that his sacrifice would be sufficient for people like us. And then the final one on the positive chart, it always perseveres. Regardless of Jesus's earthly circumstances, every hour and every minute of every day was an opportunity for Jesus to preach the good news gospel to all who had ears to hear. He never gave up on his mission. His mission was to spread the good news. Now, those are the positives, and we see how Jesus did with those seven. But there were some negatives, too. Love is not. So let's go cover those, and let's see how Jesus did with these. Love does not envy. Jesus's priorities were not who had more possessions or which prophet may have had more followers. That was never important to him. He always focused on his mission. He wasn't concerned about any competition. He had no one to envy. Number two, love does not boast. If anyone had a reason to boast, it would be Jesus. He could have boasted about who he was. He could have gone up to people and said, "Hey, I'm the Son of God." So he always had reason to boast, but he never did. He never used that to his advantage because he knew that his true followers would have to come to him with and by faith. Love is not proud. Pride is all about self. It's all about me. And Jesus was the most selfless person that ever walked the face of this earth. Jesus was always about others and not himself. Love is not rude. Jesus was willing, and he was always ready, that anyone who hears the message and believes would be saved. Anyone, and that included the Pharisees, that included the Sadducees, that included the teachers of the law, that included the people who followed him, that included the sinners, that included the prostitutes, that included the tax collectors. He didn't care. He was not rude to any of those people. Even the people who put him on the cross, anybody who hears the message and believes would be saved. Love is not self-seeking. Jesus always diverted all the glory to the Father and never any of the glory to himself. And the three times that Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, we see that in Matthew chapter 4, he resisted those things that could have been self-seeking. He resisted food. He resisted power. He resisted popularity because those things appeal to the flesh, and Jesus was never about the flesh or anything self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. If we were to be betrayed by one of our best friends, like Jesus was betrayed by Judas, chances are we might be angry at that other person. But in this case, in the case of Judas, Jesus certainly knew that it was part of the sovereign plan of God that Judas would do this. Jesus was not easily angered by the things that he knew fit into the plan of God. Love does not delight in evil. In John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, there's an adulterous woman that the Pharisees bring before Jesus, and we all know that story. Jesus never, ever condemns the adulterous woman, but he does tell her what at the end? Go and sin no more, because love never delights in evil, regardless of where that evil comes from. John chapter 5, there was a man who was lame. He was by the pool. He had been there for 38 years, and no one was going to throw this guy in the pool, and he had an infirmity. He couldn't walk. Jesus heals the man, and what does he tell the man after he heals him? He goes up to him and says this, "Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." Jesus never, ever condoned or endorsed sin in any way, shape, or form. Jesus never gives us any cause to sin. And then the last one, and I kind of saved this one for last. Love, excuse me, keeps no record of wrongs. Peter denied Jesus three times. Thomas doubted that Jesus even rose from the dead. And James and John wanted possessions in the heavenly kingdom, one on the left and one on the right of Jesus. And at the very end, right before Jesus was going to ascend into heaven, Jesus never says, "Peter, James, John, Thomas, come here. Remember that time when..." Does Jesus ever say that? I'll bet you we do. Love keeps no record of wrongs. I love preaching that line because I believe it hits close to home for all of us. I think too often we all carry that little silver bullet right here in our pocket where it's real close to us, and we're ready to pull it out and load it right into our gun as soon as the right opportunity arises. Because you remember that time when so-and-so said this to you or done this to you, and you're just waiting for that next opportunity when you can load that silver bullet in that gun and let them have it. Oh, you've been waiting for that time to get even so long, haven't we? But love keeps no record of wrongs. As a Christian, anytime we want to know what needs to flow from our heart or what doesn't need to flow from our heart, all we need to do is read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. And when we arrive at that point in our Christian walk, when we can get good at all of these things, then we will find out what verse 8 says, that love never, what? It never fails. Love never fails. So let's do a review of the 4 weeks of Advent, the season of Advent. We know this. We have learned this over the last 4 weeks. Hope will mature the heart of the believer. Peace will guard the heart of the believer. Joy will excite the heart of a believer. And love will flow from the heart of a believer. This season of Advent and the words that represent these four lit candles, I think we will admit, though, those four words, they can present a challenge for us as Christians. And maybe you might say, well, I'm good at that one or that one, but this is the one I struggle with the most. And maybe one of these is challenging. Maybe several of these might be challenging to us. But let me just go over these four real quick. Yes, I am challenged to have a mature heart as a Christian, because that does make me more Christ-like. But meeting that challenge does give me hope. Yes, I am challenged to have a guarded heart that does not worry and is not anxious about anything. But meeting that challenge will give me peace. Yes, I am challenged to have an excited heart that rejoices in the assurance of my salvation in the midst of all these worldly troubles that I experience. But meeting that challenge will give me joy in my life. And yes, the number 4, I am challenged to have love flow from my heart to a world that sometimes I really don't like, and a world that is really difficult to love. But meeting that challenge, as defined by 1 Corinthians 13, will define me as a Christian, and it will set me apart from the world. As we persevere in all four of these challenges, we need to persevere not only during the season of Advent, not only through December 31st, but we need to pursue these things and persevere in these things all year round. This isn't just an Advent thing. Why? There's a very, very simple answer, and I'm going to put it up here. Why do we need to persevere in all these things? Because love never fails. And that's God's promise. Love never fails. But isn't it sometimes one of the most difficult things that we need to do in this life? But the Word of God promises it will never fail. Well, that's Advent for 2020. Next week, I'm going to do a review of this year next Sunday. Next Sunday is that Sunday between Christmas and New Year's. And then when we reconvene back in January, we'll pick back up with our study back in the book of Galatians. Advent 2020. Let's go to God in a time of prayer. Father, it's good to know that we have these challenges ahead of us, but we do know when we meet these challenges what kind of Christian it's going to make us. The hope is going to make us a better Christian. The peace is going to make us a better Christian, and so will the joy and the love, because, Father, we need to stand out from the world. We need to be separate from the world. We do not need to be like the world. We have been called to be set apart. But Father, as we review these attributes that are up here, Father, I know that there are some, I know which ones I struggle with, and there might be others that others in here and others listening to this message are going to struggle with too, Lord. So I'm asking, Lord, that you give us and let us be able to meet that challenge of that hope, that challenge of peace, that challenge of joy, and that challenge of allowing love to flow from our hearts. If there's ever a time that we need to be Christians and to be able to display that and to stand firm in that, it's today, Lord. So give us what we need to be that person who is set apart from the rest of the world. We give you thanks. Thank you for Jesus and what he has brought to us. And we celebrate his birthday, and we certainly wish him a happy birthday. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.